Hello, and welcome to another edition of the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Now, even though this is the first episode of 2024, it's far too late to wish you a Happy New Year. Happy Chinese New Year, perhaps. Oh, sorry, I forgot my manners. Hi everyone, my name is Ray Tempesta and I am the host of this theatrical endeavour where in each episode I shine a big old spotlight on some of the theatre happening in our region. And by our region I mean East Anglia. And by East Anglia I mean Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire. Yes, I know some include Essex and bits of Bedfordshire in the eastern region, but I am but one man and that's too much ground for me to cover. So sorry Milton Keynes and Braintree theatre goers, you can suck it. Now, if you're not familiar with the format of the podcast, it's split into three parts. Part one is where I tell you a bit about what I've been up to in the world of theatre. Part two is the pièce de résistance, the interview with a guest or guests about the theatre or production they're involved in. And part three is where I give you a brief rundown of the shows coming up over the next few weeks, and the occasional mention of audition opportunities too. So let's start with part one, as I ask myself in the absence of a co-host, Ray, what have you been up to in the world of theatre lately? Well, yeah, though it appears I decided to give January a miss, that doesn't mean I haven't been busy. In fact, in January, I performed in a production, I watched six different shows, and I began rehearsals for a new production I'm involved in. It's little wonder, then, that I've not had time to record a new episode recently. But let's dig into this a little bit more. So, the production I performed in was Season's Greetings, which you may have heard me mention if you listened to the last couple of episodes last year. We initially did it in November at Sheringham Little Theatre as a fundraiser for the venue, and it sold so well that they decided to extend the run for another couple of dates, this time at St George's Theatre in Great Yarmouth, which is the sister venue of Sheringham Little Theatre. These shows went really well too, raised another healthy chunk of money for the two venues, and meant I started the year with a bang. Now, onto the shows that I saw last month. Well, I started with an adult panto in Great Yarmouth called Rubbin' Wood. Now, it wasn't big, it wasn't clever, and I wasn't nearly pissed enough to enjoy it. It was well performed by the cast of five, it's just that the scriptwriter leaned too heavily into the belief that you need only swear a lot to be hilarious. The very raucous crowd largely seemed to enjoy it though, so maybe it was just me being a bit of a stick in the mud. Speaking of panto, on the previous episode, way back last year, I interviewed Scott Meacock ahead of the pantomime that he had written, The Little Mermaid, opening for Horning Amateur Theatrical Society. Well, I went along to the second of their performances to a packed-out Horning Village Hall. Scott's script was rammed with silly jokes, which I really enjoyed, but to be honest, the company itself was a bit thin on the ground for good, solid performers. It was encouraging to see such a large number of the local community out in force to support the company, though, and hopefully there's a younger contingent waiting in the wings to be involved. A few days after that, I caught the Woman in Black. Well, not literally caught her, but caught a glimpse of her on stage at Norwich Theatre Royal as the nationwide tour reached Norfolk. It was fantastic to see such a tense spectacle live, and it was incredibly well staged and acted by the two leads, one that I won't forget in a hurry. Then, just a few days after that, in the same venue, I saw Norfolk and Norwich Operatic Society's annual show. This time, their production was Betty Blue Eyes, which is a musical based on the Alan Bennett film called A Private Function. It was an absolutely brilliant performance from the company, and you can read my review of it on my website, eatpod.co.uk, but it was lovely to see the company make a bold, lesser-known option and not just plump for the popular choice. Hopefully there'll be trendsetters on the amateur scene, as it was a great ensemble piece. What it also confirmed to me was the wealth of talent there is in Norfolk and Norwich. Next up was an Alan Akeborn show called Comic Potential at the Sewell Barn in Norwich. Now, I saw this one quite late in their run, so I didn't provide a review. It was a really interesting concept, though, as actors had been replaced with robots, or actoids as they were referred to, and one of the writers falls for an actoid. It was well performed and directed by the company, however, it was rather lengthy, with the running time stretching to almost 3 hours, which is far too long, no matter how good the comedy is. And then, shock horror, I abandoned East Anglia as I went away for the weekend in London, and while I was there, I caught The King and I at the Dominion Theatre. It was honestly one of the best shows I've ever seen. Funny, touching, uplifting, beautiful, and the visuals and choreography were just stunning. Now, I know it came to Cambridge, Ipswich and Norwich on its UK tour last year, but due to other commitments, I didn't manage to catch it, and I'm so pleased that I made the effort to see it elsewhere. Back on home territory, and I watched the Agatha Christie classic, And Then There Were None, on its opening night. Now, you can't ever fail to be enraptured by the twisting whodunit, but this one lacked the special kind of period setting that you might expect from an Agatha Christie show. I still enjoyed it, but I just don't think you need to meddle too much with a classic. Anyway, if you're interested, you can have a read of my review for that one too at eatpod.co.uk. So, clearly that was quite a few shows I caught in January, but I might not have time to catch too many shows in the next month or so, as over Christmas I was cast in a production of Pride and Prejudice, which will be on at the Madder Market in Norwich in March. I had a few rehearsals in January, and they're going to start to ramp up now. This particular stage adaptation has been written by Sabrina Poole, who's also directing the show. I'll talk about it a bit more in future episodes, but if you are interested, it's on from the 19th to the 23rd of March, and tickets are available via maddermarket.co.uk. Anyway, enough about me. What about you? What have you seen lately? Anything left an impression? Do let me know. I'm always happy to hear from you. Right, okay, let's move on to section two, the interview. And this time, I'd like to introduce you to someone who directed the show for the first time last year and ended up winning a Norfolk Arts Award. Her name is Michelle Hutchings, and she was a major creative force behind the production of Queers at Sewell Barn in Norwich, which is now being resurrected for three more performances later this month. She was accompanied in the interview by her partner Jess, who I've had the pleasure to perform with actually in the past. Anyway, without further ado, let's have a chat with Michelle and Jess, shall we? Hi there, Michelle and Jess as well.
Hi.
It's lovely to have you both on the podcast. Now, we're here to talk about Queers, the show that you, Michelle, directed and which I caught in Norwich around this time last year. So while you don't need to explain to me what the production is about, for those that haven't come across it, can you?
Absolutely. So Queers is a selection of monologues, which was originally curated by Mark Gatiss, and it's chronicling 100 years of gay life, effectively. It was curated to mark the anniversary of the 1967 Sexual Offences Act, which decriminalised homosexual acts in private between two men over the age of 21. And so we are performing six of the eight monologues that were written, starting in 1917 with I won't give too many spoilers away, but a young soldier who's talking about his experiences during the war. And we end in 2016 with a gay man who is preparing his wedding speech. So it's kind of chronicling and a lot, obviously, in between that as well. We have a couple of sort of, older characters talking about their experience of what that was like or what it's going to be like when the law changes, which is quite a funny monologue, but also got some very dark and emotional sort of tones in it. And I think that's the thread throughout the play is it's a very serious subject and a lot of people went through a lot of tough times, but actually there were some really funny things that happened. So it's hard to mark the genre of it, really, because it's a comedy at points. It's quite tragic at points. It goes through a whole range of the emotions.
Yeah, it really does. I was deeply moved and uplifted at the same time. There was messages of hope in there as well as, obviously, of sadness. And it was very funny in places as well. So, yeah, I wholeheartedly recommend it. Now, obviously, as I mentioned, I saw it last year. So the curtain came down at Sewell Barn in January 2023.
Yes.
And you're now bringing it back for three further performances. So I guess perhaps the most pertinent question is why?
Okay. Well, it's been a bit of a journey. So I think one reason was that we just had such a wonderful relationship between the cast and the crew. It was just a wonderful family sort of that we created, which was unlike anything I've ever experienced in theatre before. And it felt like we weren't finished. It felt like there was just more to give. Also, we were lucky enough to have been nominated and won the Theatre Award at the Norfolk Arts Awards this year. So that kind of spurred us on a little bit this is great. We've done something a bit special here. And we'd really like to get that message out to more people and show more people. And within that, Queerfest, who we are performing it as part of, also won a Norfolk Arts Award for, I think it was the Diversity Award. And it was kind of seemed natural for us to get together and work something out so that we could be part of their fantastic festival.
I'm glad you mentioned about the Norfolk Arts Awards. I mean, it was a show that I gave a glowing review for. Loads of other people single it out for particular praise. And then, of course, the Norfolk Arts Awards as well. Receiving all those sort of lovely accolades must have given you a real confidence boost, particularly as it was your directorial debut.
Yeah, absolutely. I still have to pinch myself a little bit. It's very, very surreal that that all happened. But I had the best cast and crew around me and some wonderful support from the Solvang Theatre as well. Their team there, absolutely fantastic. A really phenomenal place to act and to direct. So yeah, it did. It gave me a massive boost and to the cast as well. We had a really great night out actually, celebrating the award.
So now you're bringing it back. Now, last time out, there was seven different monologues. This time that there's six. So clearly there's some differences this time. Also, I know one of the actors wasn't from the original production, wasn't able to be involved this
Absolutely.
time. So what changes can, well, for those that saw it the first time, right, what changes can audiences expect?
So first off, we'll be staging because the theatre space is very different to the Solvang. So I think it'll bring a whole different feel. Yeah, a whole different feel to the audience experience. We're hoping to do it cabaret style, so rather than rows of seats, there'll be tables and chairs with people sat around to bring that kind of more intimate pub kind of feeling.
You're performing at the Assembly House, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yes, in the Nouvelle Ballroom. Yes, unfortunately, we have had to cut one of our monologues simply because the actor or actress involved couldn't commit to the dates. Unfortunately, there was a bit of a clash of things, and we couldn't recast that one. But we also have a new member of cast as well who will be taking on the role of Steve, as unfortunately that cast member also couldn't commit to the new dates for it. So yes, a new actor and a new ending as well.
And how has it been picking up on the project, a year on? I know from experience it can sometimes be hard resuming something that had been delayed, but obviously this one's slightly different because you probably felt like it had come to an end.
Absolutely. Yes and no. I think we always had it in the back of the mind, our mind, that we wanted to do it again. The cast quite early on were like, let's do a tour. Which I was like, oh no, I don't know, I've got the time and energy for a whole tour. But yeah, I've forgotten the question going off on that one.
It was really nice to be given the opportunity to do another outing away, because I don't think that comes up very often, and it seemed to all fall into place with Queer Fest giving us that opportunity, the Assembly House Trust graciously allowing us space in the venue. It seemed to sort of stars align opportunity for us to be able to do that, and that doesn't always happen, so it seemed a bit silly not to take that.
Absolutely, and everybody was so keen to be on board as well. And it's been a strange rehearsal process, very different to what I'd normally have to do because it's not been as intense as putting on a full-blown new show. But it's been really interesting talking to the actors and seeing how their characters have changed slightly over the last year as well. You know, we're talking monologues that are deeply personal to a lot of the actors who are playing them. They've got experience of that time period or what's going on for that character. And actually experiences that they've experienced throughout this year have changed that character slightly. So the characters of some of them have just slightly got some different and sort of new nuances to the character, which has been really fun actually, kind of watching them and going, oh, this feels really familiar, but oh, I like this change, or yes, that energy is a bit different, or you're really feeling that love connection right now, you're speaking so tenderly. So it's been really fun to revisit those characters, but in a slightly different way with the same actors.
And you sort of touched upon it a little bit earlier about being involved in Queer Fest. Now, it's not an event that I'd come across. It turns out it's a sort of relatively new thing, Queer Fest Norwich. Are you able to give us any kind of insight into what the event's, well, it's fairly clear what the event's all about, but what
Yes.
it involves?
Yeah, so I believe it started last year, I believe by a bit of accident, but I'm sure Rachel, if you ever come across her or have a chat with her with Queer Fest, she will tell you that story. She hadn't intended on making a month-long queer art festival, but that's what ended up happening. So it takes place throughout the month of February. There's several different events happening, sort of from music events to art displays to, I think there's a candle making one I saw somewhere as well, all obviously queer themed. So tomorrow at the Forum, for example, they've got a queer art a display gallery going on from 10 a.m. So that's the Forum. But yeah, you can check out their website at queerfestnorwich.uk, and that'll have the list of all the events. They're all on all of the socials as well. But yeah, they just wanted to bring a specific sort of festival for queer art. Obviously, we've got the wonderful Pride in Norwich, which is a brilliant celebration. But this brings a different side to the queer community.
We have a fantastic LGBT plus presence in Norwich, actually.
Absolutely.
It's, I think, kind of a little bit of a hub in East Anglia, from what I gather from speaking with people. Mm. And it's really nice that we get to have something like this in the city where we live. So, yeah, good stuff for Queerfest. Like, I want to see more. I hope it keeps going.
Mm. For you two, what's next? So queers, the revival will be finished sort of mid-February. I know you've got some improv stuff on the sideline as well coming up.
We do. We've started doing some improv classes and things with Dogface Improv, which are a brilliant improv community in Norwich. Yeah, we've been really enjoying sort of taking some classes with them. It's not something that was a skill that I was particularly comfortable with. I love acting. Put me in front of a stage with a script, I am so happy, but make me improvise something. And that's still, it's a skill that I'm learning. But yeah, it's a fantastic community to be a part of. So I'm hoping to take some more classes through them throughout the year and go to some of their jams. They hold jam nights every other week that people can just turn up to. Yeah, we'll see where that takes us, really. We'll see. There might be some auditions at the Soul Barn later in the year, or who knows, really.
And how about directing? You know, obviously having had such a great start to your directorial, dare I say, career. have you got any things in the pipeline for what might
I'd
be
like to, definitely. I've got nothing set in stone at the moment, but I have a whole sort of shelf of scripts behind me that are on my list of, I would like to direct this one day, please. So I guess sort of after Queers finishes and I've had some sleep and regained some energy, I guess it'll be looking at what the next project might be. But yes, I would definitely love to direct again. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, but I also want to get back on the stage as well.
So speaking of on stage, do you have any bucket list roles?
Oh, good question. Oh gosh, well, it's, I have ADHD, so quite often my bucket list things change as my interests and things change with the wind. I know the rights are not available because I've tried, but I'd really love to do a one-woman show, something like Fleabag. I'm obsessed with Fleabag, but I would love to bring that to stage one day. I'd like to act in it, but also direct it possibly.
Were you watching on, obviously as the director, were you watching on Queers thinking, oh, I wish I could be in this?
I think it's my first time directing, so I can't say, I think as a director, we all kind of do that. But for me, yeah, absolutely. There's some really great roles. Just to be able to have, as an actor, 20 minutes, you know, on stage, on your own, to really create that character and have a bit of fun with it. It's a real gift, especially the writing for these monologues. Some of the pieces are so clever. Well, they're all clever, but some of them, the one that Jonathan does, I Miss the War in particular, is so well written and so witty. It's just such a gift. And I watched Jonathan perform that piece, and I can just see that he is just loving and milking every single second on that stage. And he does it phenomenally.
Is that the one where he's the tailor, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Which is just, it's a wonderful, wonderful monologue. So yeah, absolutely. I seeing something like that just makes me want to sort of stick my teeth in and run with a really nice meaty monologue. I think that would be one of my bucket list thing would be to do a monologue or a one woman show.
Fantastic. Are there any shows, because I know that the likes of Sewell Barn and Madder Market in Norwich, you know, that they put up their productions for their upcoming season well in advance. Are there any shows that you're particularly looking forward to seeing or potentially being involved in?
Oh, Pride and Prejudice looks like it's going to be absolutely fantastic at the
new adaptation.
Well, I mean,
yes,
the cast are exceptional.
I have heard, but no, I'm really looking forward to that. Actually, it was something I studied at GCSE. So yeah, that'll bring back some school. Well, I hear it's very different, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Just trying to think what's on at the barn that's coming.
You're interested in the last one of the season?
Yes.
Is it Memory of Water?
I always get this wrong. It's either Memory of Water or Shape of Water, and one of them is a book and one of them is a play.
I think it's Memory of Water, isn't it?
Shape of Water is a, well, yeah, I saw there was a film as well, wasn't there? The Shape of Water.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be directed by Cassie Tillett. Yeah, it sounds like a really a really good play for, yeah, there's a lot in there. I've had a read of it and I really enjoy it. I think there's As You Like It that's coming to the barn as well.
Yeah, it's in the summer, isn't it?
And Amy's View, which Amy's View is coming. It's going to be the next show. I haven't got the dates to hand.
22nd?
I think so.
Later this month, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was a play that was due to be on in 2020, but got pulled because of COVID. So they're finally getting a chance to put that one on. So actually, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. That's, we were going to go and be a part of that original
until
COVID and then queer.
Yeah.
So
kind of clash.
Okay. And back to queers, I guess, finally, we probably should actually talk about the actual dates that it's on and where we can get tickets.
Okay, so it's on the 15th, 16th and 17th of February at 7:30 in the evening. And tickets are between £8 and £12, so £8 for concessions. And you can get those from queerfestnorwich.uk. If you scroll down the sort of what's on section, there's a link to queers at Queerfest. And tickets are available from there. I think it's an Eventbrite link, so... Yeah, and I also should probably say a huge thank you to the Assembly House Trust as well for supporting us in having the venue that we've got. And the proceeds from the tickets will all be going to the Norfolk LGBT Plus Project, who are an amazing charity running a lot of support groups and counselling and events for people in the Norfolk LGBT Plus community. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I think when that sort of concludes everything I kind of got to ask you about queers and everything from a theatre perspective. So good luck with the remainder of the rehearsals. And obviously the show is when they start on the, I've already forgotten the date, 17th?
15th of February, yep.
That's fine. I'll edit that bit out. I did remember. So there we have it. That was the Hutchings, Michelle, and to a lesser extent, Jess. If you want to catch Queers, as they mentioned, it's on from the 15th to the 17th of February, and tickets are available via queerfestnorwich.uk. If you want to get a flavour of what I thought and what might be in store for you, you can also take a look at the review of Queers that I produced last year. It's on my website, eatpod.co.uk. You'll probably have to scroll down a bit because it was quite some time ago and I've produced a lot of reviews since then. Now, what else is coming up in the region over the next few weeks? Well, some friends of mine over at Rackheath Players are performing their annual pantomime. This time it's Alice in Wonderland, and it's on in the February half term at Rackheath Village Hall from the 22nd to the 24th of February. Tickets for that are available via rackheathplayers.co.uk. Also doing their annual pantomime is Kingscliff Players over in Peterborough. They'll be performing The Wizard of Oz at Kingscliff Village Hall on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February, and then the following week on the 15th, 16th and 17th. There are matinees on the 10th and 17th as well, and tickets of that are available via kingscliffplayers.org. Back in Norfolk, the CSODs, that's Cromer and Sheringham Operatic and Dramatic Society, to you and I, they'll be performing Alan Akebourne's time-travelling comedy Communicating Doors. It's on at Sheringham Little Theatre from the 14th to the 17th of February with a Saturday matinee too. Tickets for that are available via sheringhamlittletheatre.com. And now we turn our attention to the improv comedy circuit, and Suffolk-based group Insert Laughter Here is crossing the border and performing a show at Norwich's Anteros Art Foundation. They'll be performing on Friday the 16th of February, and tickets are available via andtousfoundation.com. And finally, crossing the border from the other direction and heading into Suffolk is Norfolk-based improv comedy group, The Intellectual Hooligans. They're playing a fundraising show for the Fisher Theatre in Bungay on the 9th of February, and tickets for that are available via fishertheatre.org. And that, folks, is all I have time for. As usual, I'll post links for all the shows mentioned on my social media pages, as well as some others I've not had time to feature. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Your support is much appreciated. And listen out for whenever the next episode is, sometime soon, I hope. If I don't talk at you before then, have a great February. And in the meantime, go watch some theatre. Bye.